your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won. And won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, December 2nd, 2020. Your boy Q here with you. As always, you know you can find me on Twitter, at your boy Q254. Also, you can always hit up that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And normally I have those calls on the show each and every day, except for Crossover Thursday. But I'm going to switch things up a little something-something today, and I'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. First, I want to tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, which is Pepsi. This football season has been super different. Pepsi's here to get you ready for the game day, no matter how you watch football this season. It is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, which are passionate fans, the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Pepsi is not made for those who play the game. It is made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching, and make sure you go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So what I got coming up on today's show, in segment number three, usually I have calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, and I got a lot of good feedback, and I want to get to it, and I always like to get as much feedback as possible, but I did a really good show, or at least I think I did a really good show on 940 ESPN Fresno with my guy Christopher Gabriel. Matter of fact, it was Scott Goldbranson and myself. We kind of tag-teamed this conversation. It was on Tuesday evening following Silver and Black Today, and Christopher Gabriel always does a really good job on 940 ESPN Fresno, but I'm telling you, I thought this conversation was outstanding with Scott and myself. Kind of, he was Howard Cosell and both of us. And so, what I'm going to do, I'm going to have that for you in segment number two and three. And I really, really, I know that a lot of you listen to the podcast, a lot of you listen to Silver and Black Today. I thought this was an outstanding conversation. I thought it was a really, really fun, informative conversation. And I really encourage you to check it out. So, that's going to actually come up in segment number two and segment number three of today's show. So, I won't have any calls, I won't have any texts. Straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, but we'll definitely get some more back into it. And then here in segment number one, I want to give you news and notes of the day. And I'll tell you, to go along with the news and the notes, I also want to let you hear a little bit of the interview that I did on Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas on Tuesday. Yeah, I was a busy dude, man. I went from ESPN Central Texas to ESPN Las Vegas to Silver and Black Today to Christopher Gabriel's show on 940 ESPN Fresno. I mean, I was all over the place on Tuesday. I was a busy worker bee. And so I think that there was a lot of good stuff that came from that. But I want to share that that conversation that I had with Cofield and Company. Not the whole thing, just one question that he asked me. And it was about everything going on COVID-19 related with the Baltimore Ravens and how that impacted the Raiders. And we had a nice little back and forth. And I thought his part of the conversation, mine, I thought my answer was good, but I thought his answer and his part of the conversation was great and very passionate. And I think a lot of Raider fans will appreciate it, especially Raider fans that are in the city of Las Vegas. But I think a lot of Raider fans will really appreciate that. So I'm going to have that coming up at the end of this segment. And really, it's funny, there's not a whole lot of news to get to as far as the news and notes of the day go. I mean, the facility was closed on Tuesday, so they had some Zoom meetings and all that, but really there was no news that rolled out. Now, I will say later on today, Trent Brown is supposed to return to practice, which is a great thing. You know, you need the right tackle back out there. You want him out there as soon as possible. The Raiders have a 5-game run that they're on, and if you can get him back, because you're not getting him back this Sunday versus the Jets, but if you can get him back next week following the Jets game, and have him for the final 4 games of the season, and he's 100%, and I'm not saying he's going to be 100%, but just getting him out at practice today, that's going to be a good thing. So hopefully he's 100% for the final 4 games of the season and maybe could help the Raiders get over the top, because as you saw on Sunday, the Raiders really need as much help on that offensive line as possible. Brandon Parker, you got to give him a lot of credit for what he's been able to do. Tom Cable, we've sung his praises on what he's been able to do, having guys prepared. But sometimes when push comes to shove and these guys have bad days, man, it results in what you saw on Sunday against the Falcons. So if you can get Trent Brown back out there sooner rather than later, that is a good thing. So him back at practice, if he indeed does return to practice today, will be a good thing. So definitely be talking about that on tomorrow's show. Also, just a little side note, Derek Carr tweeted out that he said, our baby girl has arrived, hashtag girl dad. So I knew that his wife was pregnant and they had a baby on the way. They had a baby girl, and I believe Scott said that her name was Brooklyn, so Brooklyn Carr. So shout out to Derek Carr for another addition to the family. But as far as news and notes go, it's really minimal. That's really it. Trent Brown's supposed to be returning to practice today, and Derek Carr had a baby girl. I mean, it's just, it's about that simple. So what I want to do right here to close out this segment of the segment number one of the Locked On Raiders podcast, I just want you to hear my exchange with Steve Cofield from ESPN Las Vegas, Cofield and Company. We had about a 20-minute conversation, but this is only like a 4-minute chunk, and it's all based off the COVID-19. It's based off how the league treated the Raiders and how the league has traded the Baltimore Ravens. And so a very passionate back and forth between Steve Cofield and myself, and really he was more over the top than myself. Like, he was really more into it than me, and you'll hear why right now. Check it out.
And Q Myers is with us. Let's talk about one of the big stories of the week, and it's been going on for a while here. The Ravens getting every break from the NFL seemingly possible, moving the game back and back and back, and tie it into what happened to the Raiders. Do the Raiders have a legit complaint? Fans are complaining, but do the Raiders have a legit complaint with the way they were treated before the Buccaneers game versus what the league is doing for the Ravens?
I mean, I think they have a legit complaint, and I think this is the reason why, but I don't really necessarily hold the NFL at fault with this. I just think that the NFL is trying to figure things out as they go. You know what I mean? And I don't think there's not a blueprint, obviously. We've never gone through this before. I mean, if there's a game played tomorrow night with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that means that there would have been a game played every single day of the week in 2020. You know what I mean? And I know the NFL has no problem with that. They would put their games on every single day of the week if they could every year. But this is so unprecedented. You know, nobody knows about this and how this is going to go and how this is going to shake out. And so I just think that they worked one way early in the season when the Raiders had to deal with it. And then I think as the season's gone along and it's got later in the season and they're trying to get all these games in and not try to use week 18, I think that they're just saying, hey, we got to do everything we can to get the games in. I don't think it's necessarily fair, but I don't think there's a lot of things that are necessarily fair. I just think that it is what it is. And if we're getting to see games played on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, whatever it is, if you get to see games played on any of those days, I think it's just a blessing, honestly. I understand where Raider fans are coming from, and I understand where the Raiders would come from if they had to complain about it. I just don't think the NFL really knows how they're dealing with this. It's kind of like on a daily, week-to-week type process. It's not going to be fair, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they're mishandling it, and they've been inconsistent. Yes. And it seems like they're doing a couple of things. They're being judge, jury, and executioner,
right,
on the punitive end, like who deserves to be sort of punished and who doesn't. And I also think it's clear that the teams that are glamour teams, or better stated, the good teams, are getting leeway. What happened to the Raiders is one thing, right? The O-line not being, right, you know, officially cleared until Sunday morning, but the Raiders got screwed. The Niners certainly got screwed when all the receivers were out for the Thursday night game. And the Broncos got royally.
Yes.
And then you look at the other side of things. The Titans, good team, right? Made a run last year in the AFC playoffs. They got extra time. Belichick, of course, you know, it's the Patriots. Everyone thinks the league gives the Patriots a raw deal. No, they do not.
Right.
The Pats got games pushed back. And now the Ravens, I think the league is making a decision on who's good and who's not. That's really dangerous. And from an integrity standpoint, the Broncos have no shot, Q, at the playoffs. The Raiders and the Niners do.
Right.
And those games are screw jobs. That could be the game that keeps those teams out of the playoffs. This is not fair.
No, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you make a lot of sense with that. And, you know, when you break it down into the teams that are getting love and the teams that aren't getting love, it absolutely makes a ton of sense. And that, I mean, that Bronco game, that was just a joke, man. I mean, there's no reason that there should be no quarterback out there available for Denver. But, that all makes a lot of sense. Again, I think that you said it right where you're saying that, you know, they're the judge, the executioner, they're all that. They're just kind of going by the seat of their pants. And, yeah, some other teams are getting some extra love. And, you know, if you're a Raider fan, I think you're kind of used to this anyway. I mean, you've always lived your life like, hey, the league hates the Raiders. I mean, that's what you always hear. So I kind of take it with a grain of salt and say, hey, it is what it is. I will say, I think that the Raiders at some point should have been a little bit more on their A game as far as taking care of themselves. But at the same time, it should be a level playing field, but clearly it's not.
Well, I can tell you, as a Las Vegan, who technically we put up money for the stadium, we're vested in this thing. We're vested in the Raiders winning.
Right.
We're vested in the Raiders getting into the playoffs and, you know, potentially getting home games and revenue and big weekends here in the NFL. We're going to be watching this like no other city. The screw jobs on the Raiders need to end here. And this is from a Las Vegan. So get it together, NFL. That's a threat that has no power behind it.
So there it is right there. Steve Cofield really going in. And look, he has a lot of good points, you know, and from a guy that is there in Las Vegas and a guy who is, like he said, a Las Vegan, you know, obviously he's looking at it in multiple different ways, not necessarily even from a Raiders fan point of view, just from the point of view of, hey, you know, if you're going to treat the Ravens like this, then make sure you treat everyone like that. Again, my point was that I think that the Raiders or the NFL is kind of learning on the fly. And of course, they came down hard on the Raiders. They had multiple, you know, violations and everything. But, you know, the point he brings up about the teams that are really good and the teams that aren't really good, you know, is very, very valid. So I thought, I mean, I almost gave him a round of applause when he was saying that when we were talking. Either way, I thought that Raider Nation would appreciate to hear that, because I know a lot of Raider fans are very upset about the way that the Baltimore Ravens have been treated and the fact that they're actually playing a game, depending on what time you're listening to this today. This afternoon, they're actually playing this game this afternoon. It's been pushed three times. Baltimore and Pittsburgh were supposed to play on Thanksgiving. It got pushed. Then they were supposed to play on Sunday. It got pushed. Then they were supposed to play on Tuesday. It got pushed. So it got pushed three different times, and now they're playing it today, which is Wednesday. And if this game does go off, and it looks like it will because they traveled and they're good to go, apparently, even though they had a couple more cases of COVID-19, they're going to play this game. That means that in the NFL calendar year in 2020, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday have all been used at some capacity for an NFL game, because Christmas there's going to be NFL games played. That's a Friday, and then Saturday football games are coming up pretty soon, including the Raiders, who play week 16 against Miami. That's a Saturday night. So every single day of the week in the 2020 NFL season is going to be used for an NFL game. That's wild, but that's what it is. That's the world we're living in. So hopefully you appreciated what you heard there from Steve Cofield from Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. Like I said, had a 20-minute conversation with him, thought it went really, really good. But that's not what you're going to hear next. What you're going to hear next is part one of the conversation I had with Scott Goldbranson and myself and Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno. I thought that was a really good conversation. I think it was very entertaining, something that you'll definitely want to hear. And we're going to do that next. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about getting in shape and how you can get in shape and what you could do to get in shape, what can help you get in shape. And I'm talking about Echelon, because when it comes to getting in or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as the feeling of accomplishment, hitting your fitness goals, and feeling great about yourself. Echelon is going to help you get there. They offer the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. And I'm not going to lie, Raider Nation, I don't get caught up on like infomercials and all that stuff, but when you see the Echelon TV commercial and they got the little mirror, it looks pretty cool. Now, I'm not saying I would use it all the time or whatever like that. Like, it'd be one of those things that, because I got to get into a routine and it's hard for me to, but man, it looks pretty stinking cool. And every time I see it on TV, I'm like, wife, you sure you don't want to get you a mirror? And she just looks at me like, stop trying to spend some money. Either way, Echelon, they got world-class instructors. They'll motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And I talked about spending money. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. So right now, you could try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. echelonfit.com/NFL. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. Can't believe that we're in the final month of the year. Absolutely, this year. I can't wait till 2020 rolls over to 2021, and hopefully it's a lot better than 2020 was. But yeah, man, we are in the final stretch of the 2020 year. year, calendar year. But let's go ahead and jump into something that's really positive, and that's our conversation. And when I say our conversation, I mean our conversation. Scott Goldbranson, myself, you know, we're on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920. We do that show every single day, 2 to 4 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Like I said, Raider Nation Radio, Las Vegas. We came together like butt cheeks. We did the show together with Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN Fresno. So it was like, I'm in Central Texas, Scott's in Las Vegas, and Christopher Gabriel's in Fresno, and we all came together on the same conversation about the Raiders, and I think it worked out really, really well. Matter of fact, when the Raiders make the playoffs, and yes, I said when the Raiders make the playoffs, we're going to do it again. I think it's a really good treat for Raider Nation, so I want to go ahead and bring that conversation to you. So here is part one of that conversation on 940 ESPN in Fresno with Christopher Gabriel, Scott Goldbranson, and myself.
You know, normally I don't have two guests on at the same time because it can be confusing. But when you're talking Scott Goldbranson and Keont Myers, just throw the rule book out. These two guys between them host about 143 different shows and podcasts. It's unbelievable. Scott is the host of Silver and Black Today on R&R 920 AM. That's Raider Nation Radio. Keont Myers, he's the host of UNR. We have a lot of acronyms here. On ESPN Central Texas, he's also the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast, co-host of Silver and Black Today, the co-host of the Black Hole Banter. He's also co-host of Gardening and Your Earthworms. We welcome Scott Goldbranson and Keont Myers. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing great, man. I didn't know Q was into worms.
Well, hey, Keont Myers has, yeah. You know, when you live in Waco, you've got to be multidimensional, right, Q?
That's right, that's right. Hey, man, you know, don't put anything past me. You never know what I'm getting my hands on.
Oh, man. Listen, first of all, thanks for both of you to join me tonight. Scott, we gave you a $20 CGP fine. Bless your heart. It was great. He's like, hey, man, jumping on with CG right now. And it was yesterday. But, you know, that's okay because we love you nonetheless. Scott, let me start with you. Raiders are 6-5. Now, I had them at 7-4 at this point. I went through the Raiders and the Niners because we have both here on our station. At the beginning of the year, I had them 7-4 at this point. The key difference, I did not expect a loss at Atlanta, much less a complete and utter breakdown. So maybe the place to start is your thoughts on the Atlanta game, and have the Raiders met, exceeded, or fallen short of your expectations to this point?
Well, Christopher, I'll tell you, first of all, the thoughts on the loss, I don't have many of them because they don't deserve many, because it was just, you know, it was just a good old-fashioned butt-kicking, and the Raiders just didn't show up, especially on offense. I have to say, and Q and I talked about it on our show earlier today, the Raiders' defense, which has been the problem all year until this point, really actually played well against an okay Falcons offense. And so it was a surprise from that perspective, but when we picked the record at the beginning of the year, I think Q had them at 10-6. I had them at 9-7. So I think they're right on track. But we have so many smart callers in Raider Nation who call into our show. And one of them said today, you know, hey, I kind of switch out the Falcon loss for the Chiefs win in Kansas City because I wasn't expecting them to win that game. But I would expect them to be a game better because the Atlanta game, they should have gone down, taken care of business, and done it. So I look at them right now as incomplete. I will tell you, if they win 9 games, I think it's a good season. If they win 10 games and get in the playoffs, it's a great season. Anything less than that would be a major disappointment.
Now, I would agree with you. Keont, we can make a lot of excuses. You guys are the two guys that will not make excuses. You guys know me. We're not going to make any on this program. We can talk time zones. They're professionals. They're professionals. Get off the plane at Hartsfield and come ready to do some work. The guy who I have been singing praises for all year has been, more than anybody, maybe just about in the league, is Derek Carr. I've loved what he's done, and managing the offense sounds like a negative, but I don't mean it that way. He has just really taken this playbook, this John Gruden playbook, and he's owned it, and he's getting the ball to the right people in the right spaces at the right moments. What was your take on what happened on Sunday? Was it more Atlanta, or was it just, you know, it's one of those, you know, sometimes you got the 98-mile-an-hour fastball in, you know, to mix metaphors here, in the bullpen, you come out to the mound and it's 91.
Yeah, it was just, in my opinion, it was just, it wasn't really what Atlanta did. It was what the Raiders didn't do, you know, and Scott said it best on Monday. It was just a bad day at the office for the Raiders. It really was. And this is what I've been saying all week long, especially after what Derek Carr, who I agree with you 100% CGP, that, you know, that Derek Carr has been in total control of this offense. He's been playing lights out. Maybe some could argue he's even been playing better than he did in 2016 when people started talking about MVP style. But he went out there and he did what he could do, and he obviously turned the ball over a bunch of times and just looked very flat, and the team looked very flat. And then to his credit, after the game, he said, hey, you know what? I felt like this was going to be flat. We were flat in practice. We didn't do very well in practice. And so my theme all week long, and I know that you'll relate to this perfectly because I know how you work, you get out of it what you put into it. It's just like our radio shows. If you don't put in the work, when you turn on the mic and it's live, it's not going to be very good. It's going to be a bad show. Well, the Raiders went through it. They slept, walked. They didn't do their prep work. They didn't do their time in the trenches to really get prepared for this game. And it showed on Sunday. And I think really, ultimately, like Derek Carr said, it felt like a flat week of practice. I think that's exactly what it was, and that's exactly what I point the finger at.
You know, that's a great parallel. We're talking with the two most knowledgeable Raiders guys that I know. That's why we love to have them on here, Scott Glabranson and Keon Myers. Scott, by the way, Scott is in Las Vegas. Keon is in Waco. I'm in Fresno. How about that? I just think that's kind of cool. Scott, follow me for a moment here. And Keon, I'm going to want you to chime in on this as well. So, and I'm not telling you or Raider Nation anything they don't know, but let's just kind of go through this real quickly. So last year, the Raiders, after 10 games, were 6-4, and then they lost five of their next six. In those five losses, they scored 64 points, or just under 13 a game. The offense went south. So the Raiders, in Game 11, they had the Jets. The Chiefs were in a bye week, a win, and the Raiders go to 7-4, and they tie the Chiefs for the top spot in the AFC West. Well, the Raiders lose. They fall a game back, and then, as we all remember, they lose 40-9 to the Chiefs the following week. That pretty much was the death knell for the Raiders last season. These guys, it's a new year. It's a crazy year with COVID. Nevertheless, I know they've heard that. They probably heard it on the broadcast from friends who heard the broadcast. How much of that, if any, do you think creeps into their minds? Like, oh, here we go again. Things are going great. We're in the stretch run. The playoffs are right ahead of us. We can't let what happened last year happen again.
I tell you what, all last week, it was part of the questioning from the media. When we got on the Zoom calls, they got the question all week long saying, you're 6-4. And we have every Monday, we have Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfro on our show. We asked him the same question, and he said, look, we are a different team. We don't think we're going to do that. But he said, I can't sit here and tell you that I know it won't happen because we have to go out and prove it. So I like the leadership there from all levels with on this team saying, listen, this isn't last year. And I don't believe, and Q can chime in, I do not believe that same thing will happen because I think this team is different. You don't have the same chemistry. You don't have the same players. At the same time, though, until you prove that it's not going to happen, people are going to think about it. And the fan base overall has been very positive after this loss, considering it was so ugly. But I will tell you, there are many out there who are kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. That's why this game against the Jets on Sunday is so important. They need to go out. They need to take care of business and show people that they are ready to put on their big boy pants here in December.
That's great points all. Q, same thing for you.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation wishes this game was on Thursday, because, and I'm sure the Raiders do as well, you know, because when you have a egg that you lay like they did on Sunday in Atlanta, you want to get out there and erase that and get it out of your mind and go out there and show the world and show the country what you really can do. And they put on a really good display, even though it was to the hands of the Chiefs and it was a loss a couple Sundays ago. And then they all of a sudden turn around and do that against Atlanta. And so it kind of, the narrative is really high one week, then it's really low the next week. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people in Raider Nation that saying, you know what, I've seen this song and dance, been there, done that, been following this team long enough. And look, I get it. You know, been there, done that as well. Followed this team long enough, rooted for this team long enough, got my feelings up in a high mode thinking, okay, here we go. This is going to be that run. And then just for nothing, you know, even look, go back to 2016 when they made the playoffs. They were cooking with grease, you know, and they were playing really well. And then that Christmas Eve in the Coliseum, you know, Derek Carr breaks his leg. And I'll tell you, man, I was there. My boys were there. My mom was there. We walked out of that stadium and it was like dead silent. And that was after a victory. And everyone knew that, okay, this high that we're on right now is over, you know? And so I think a lot of Raider Nation, they were angry. Scott could tell you on Monday when they were calling in, they were angry at the Raiders. They were definitely angry on Sunday. My Twitter was blowing up. I had to ignore Twitter for a long time just because it was out of control. And then I think today they started to come to the realization like, okay, you know what? Let's give this team a chance because of everything Scott said. They have a lot of good leadership on this team. There's a lot of new players. You look like, and they look like they're starting to turn the corner, and there's some positives to take away. Like the defense did play really well and give them a chance. So I think a lot of Raider Nation is saying, okay, you know what? We're not going to just go ahead and label this team the same old Raiders until they show us. They have a chance to redeem themselves. Now, they've backed themselves into a corner. They got 5 games to play, guaranteed. And I feel like, and this is just me, they got to go out and win 4 of them. I feel like you got to win 4, and you got to hope that you get a little bit of help and you make it into the playoffs. And then once you're in the dance, well, all you got to do is dance as long as you can. And so they have an opportunity, but they've got to show. It's up to the Raiders to go out and not talk about it, but show it on Sunday. And it starts with the Jets.
A couple of good friends of this program, a couple of real good hosts. That you're listening to Keon Myers. He is from ESPN Central Texas down in the fine city of Waco. And Scott Gilbranson, the fine city of Las Vegas. He is the host of Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. They both work on Raider Nation. They've had tons of shows. If you go anywhere up or down the dial, you're going to hear one or the other or both. You know, as long as you mentioned the fan base, Keon, let me stay with you for a second here. And then, Scott, I'm going to want you to chime in on this as well. And both of you know I'm a born and raised Chicago Bears fan. We can do an hour on that.
Yep.
And so in Chicago, in sports radio, every year before the season starts, you get the Rubes coming. How you doing? You know, Chicago Bears, they're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to win it all this year. And then they lose a preseason game, and I'm burning my jersey. I hate this team. That's how fast they jump off the Bears bandwagon. It's not the Monsters of the Midway anymore. It's the Marionettes of the Midway. Tell me about the fan base. Explain to me what the fan base is like for you, and also we'll get to Scott on this as well. Because I know it's a passionate fan base. When they're upset, when they're angry, are they jumping off or are they just venting and just dialing in more?
I think, honestly, that most of Raider Nation is just venting. I think they're talking about jumping off, talking about I'm done with them. We had people calling in, talking about I'm done the rest of the season. I'll check them in after the season's over. And I was like, okay, well, if that's what you want to do, it sounds good. But, you know, that usually lasts about a day. And because Raider Nation is so passionate, they can write this team off every single week if they want to. And yet, when the game comes on, they're going to be sitting there in front of the TV watching it. Because I know this, as a passionate Raider fan, before I was a radio host, before I was any of these guys, while I was a FedEx dude, I'm still a Raider fan, you know, first and foremost. And so I just kind of feel like the frustrations boil up because this is a faithful fan base, a fan base that is really living and growing and continuing to thrive off of the past. I mean, think about this. They won the Super Bowl in 83. 83. I was 7. You know what I mean? Like, I was not invested in the Raiders at 7 years old. I was still trying to make sure I wiped my nose and washed my hands correctly. You know what I mean? Like, 7 years old, I'm not worried about what the Silver and Black are doing. Now, because my mom and my dad were passionate fans of sports, of course it was on. I checked it out, but it wasn't something I had to lock into. And so my whole life has been on faith. I've been riding on faith. You know what I mean? And so a lot of these fans have been riding on faith forever. There's guys that are 22 years old that have never seen anything positive from the Raiders, but because their families, because their fathers, because their mothers, because their sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, everyone has been a Raider fan for so long that it's like, this is what we're supposed to do. And they're just waiting for the payoff. So a lot of times waiting for the payoff, you know how it is. You can even be trying to get a new job somewhere and you're waiting for that payoff. You've been putting in a lot of work and it just doesn't come, and it gets frustrating, and you say, you know what, dang it, I'm done with this. And then the next day you're still there putting in work because you're ready to get that next job and you know that the payoff's coming. We're just still waiting from a fan point of view.
Yeah,
we're still waiting for the payoff.
That all makes sense. By the way, did you say you were 7 in 1983?
I was absolutely 7 in 1983.
I didn't realize our age difference was that much. just to make a note of that.
So that was part one of the conversation. And actually, it kind of the way it shook out, it went a little bit longer than part two is going to go. So, yeah, I mean, I was trying to find a good splitting spot, but I just kind of felt like the conversation was rolling organically. So you'll hear part two, which is really kind of like part two and a half or whatever, maybe even almost part three, you know what I mean, of the conversation that we're going to have. That's going to come up in the next segment. Again, really good stuff with Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno. Of course, Scott Goldbranson, Silver and Black Today, and myself. Before I get into segment number three and that second half of that conversation, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. Really good taste and protein bar. If you're looking for something to, you know, rejuvenate you or get you going when you're getting ready to get your workout on, or maybe you got you an Echelon, you know, one of the fitness machines from the first segment I was talking about, and you're about to get your workout on and you think, you know what, let me go ahead and get a Built Bar in my system as well. You could do that. And these are really good tasting, man. They're 100% covered in chocolate. They got a lot of really, really good flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake. I'm a big carrot cake guy. Apple almond crisp. That's another one. Those are the six new flavors, but they got the OG flavors, I like to call them. Double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, peanut butter brownie, peanut butter, German chocolate. That's just to name a few. There's 18 total flavors, and you can get them. Again, 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. I like to put mine in the fridge or in the freezer, whatever, you know, put a little chill to it. But either way, they're very, very good, and they're great for the health conscious person. Lose or maintain weight, you want to do that? You can indulge in a delicious treat while you're eating these Built Bars and still do that. You still lose and maintain weight. The bars are low calorie, they're low sugar, they're high protein, and they're high fiber, and they're definitely great for the keto diet. So I don't know what you're waiting for. If you've been looking for that protein bar, but you just, you know, they all taste gross. They all taste like sand or chalk or rocks or whatever I like to say about them. Don't get that one. Get a Built Bar. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Not your first order, but your very next order. You know, so I don't care if you've ordered these things 25 times, you can still get 20% off right now. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of the conversation that I had with Scott Goldbranson and Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN Fresno. It was almost like a round table, but Scott was in Vegas. I'm obviously in Central Texas, and Christopher Gabriel is in Fresno. And so three radio guys getting together, talking some Raiders, and Christopher Gabriel's getting his Howard Cosell on with myself and Scott. And here's part two of that conversation. Christopher Gabriel starting off talking with my guy, Scott Goldbranson.
Scott, you're now in Mecca, you know, Las Vegas. The Raiders finally got there, and I've said this to you on the program, and I've said this to Q as well privately, that for all the attention that SoFi Stadium gets, I think there is just as much glitz and glamour and especially a little more of a cozy nature to Allegiant Stadium than there is in SoFi. But you being in Las Vegas, what Q just offered, he's a little further away. What is your read on the fan base in Vegas? Are you getting a sort of a palpable or tangible read on folks in Las Vegas that if they didn't have a football team before, they have definitely and very expeditiously adopted this Raiders franchise?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And one thing, though, on the Bears, it's the McCaskies.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me some of my Chicago.
I appreciate that.
But no, I think in Las Vegas, look, the Raiders here have got a foothold, right? Because remember, Chris, before they moved here, for 3 years, they were doing things in the community, right? So they were in schools. So people got to know the Raiders from a distance, sort of, but really close at home, because they were out doing things with the homeless shelters, with schools, with youth sports and football, high school football, all those things. So before they got here, they had a foothold. Then they get here, and of course, all this disaster that is 2020 with COVID-19 and all that has happened here happened. So I would say that the fan base here is growing. It's very excited. At the same time, it's a little bit muted. We talk about this on the show occasionally because, look, you don't have a game to go to. You can't go tailgate. There's no big parties at sports bars. There's nothing going on here that you would have in a normal season, just like every other city in this country and around the world. So I would say, yes, the excitement is growing. You see Raiders license plates everywhere. You go into any store, I don't care if it's Walmart, Target, and grocery stores and the drug stores, there is Raider gear everywhere. I see Raider gear on people everywhere. And I think a lot of the folks, even my neighbor who's a Seahawks fan, he's got a lot to cheer for. He, though, says, yeah, but I'm rooting for the Raiders. And I saw him working in the yard, putting up his Christmas lights, wearing a Raider T-shirt. So people are coming around. They're really excited. When this thing can be unfurled fully and Allegiant Stadium can be full and people can see how beautiful it is, Q and I have been able to go to games and see it in person. When they see it, they're going to get more excited, and I think Las Vegas will be electric. And if they can make it into the playoffs this year, that'll make it even hotter.
That all makes great sense. We're talking with Scott Glabranson and Keat Myers, the two best Raider voices that we know, and when we want to talk Raiders, we talk with both of them. All right, Scott, let's start with you on this. As you look at the Raiders this year right now, I'm going to give you three names, and feel free to add a fourth. I'm going to give you three names. Who, in your best estimation, has been the biggest catalyst to this team being where they are at right now? And I'm going to stay on the offensive side for the time being. Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, or Darren Waller?
Definitely Derek Carr, and I'll give a secondary nod to someone who's not even on the field, and that is offensive line coach Tom Cable, who's had to coach not the same line. I mean, every game they've had a different offensive line. They've elevated guys from practice squad. They've had left guards playing right tackle, right tackles playing left guard. I mean, it's been crazy. So, but there's no denying that, look, Derek Carr up until this past week is the story of the Raiders, because not just the play on the field, but the leadership. It goes back to the beginning of the quarantine when they were practicing right down the street from my house, and Derek Carr had guys out there. And his kind of chip on his shoulder this year has been such that I think it's propelled him to be the more vocal leader that they needed, because that's not his style. And there's nothing wrong with that. People lead silently. But in the NFL, as a quarterback of a franchise, you have to be that person who sticks out and calls people, makes them accountable like he did on Sunday for the bad play and the lack of focus and practice. And I think Derek Carr is that guy. I mean, he really has done it. And then again, Tom Cable, just one of the most unheralded and great jobs this season in the NFL.
Keont, same thing for you. Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, or an additional choice of your choice?
A guy, and it's an additional choice of my choice. This is a guy that I didn't think was going to make the roster. I thought a guy was going to get cut in training camp, and that's Nelson Aguilar, the wide receiver they picked up from Philadelphia in free agency, a guy that had a case of the dropsies when he was in Philadelphia, and all the Eagle fans just booed him out of town. And, well, the Eagle fans have a lot to boo right now, but they really booed him out of town, and I kind of looked at him as, well, this is just going to be a camp body. He'll go out there, he'll get some reps, and then he'll get cut at the end of the training camp, and then he'll go somewhere else because, well, the Raiders aren't going to really use this guy. And instead, you know, they got Henry Ruggs, number 12 overall in the draft, the speedster out of Alabama, and you thought, okay, they're going to try to stretch the field with him, they're going to get him the ball a lot, let him show off that world-class speed. And instead, I think that it's almost a bitter pill to swallow, because I think Nelson Aguilar and his arrival and the way that he's been able to play and lead the team in touchdown catches, I think that's kind of taken a little bit away from his development, from Henry Ruggs' development, because Derek Carr is so comfortable going to Nelson Aguilar that they don't, you know, connect with Henry Ruggs as often. So I think that Aguilar has a major role in where the Raiders are right now. Obviously, Derek Carr, I mean, he's the end-all, be-all. He's the guy. He's the trigger man. He makes everything go. And then Scott said Tom Cable. And so if you're going to say Tom Cable, I'm just going to say that offensive line, whoever's out there. You know what I mean? It's not always consistently the same guy, but it's that offensive line has done a heck of a job. But really, I want to tip the cap to Nelson Aguilar.
We have 2 minutes here, and I'm going to give one to each of you fine gentlemen, and it's going to be the same thing for each of you. We will start with Mr. Glabranson in you know, the home of the Raiders right now. You have five games left at the Jets, Indianapolis, at home against the Chargers as well, at home against Miami, and then on to Denver. What say you, Mr. Glabranson? How do the Raiders do in those five games? Give me the record and your reason why.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm usually not this optimistic, and I'll get accused of being a cheerleader, which I'm usually not either. But I'm telling you, I think they're going to go 4-1 and finish 10-6. I originally said 9-7, but I think they win the next four and they actually lose in Denver.
Okay. Oh, all right. It's very interesting. All right, Keon, same thing for you, sir.
Well, I think they win the next three. I think they lose to Miami, and then I think they win in Denver. I kind of feel like the peak that they've had all season long is winning three in a row. That's been the max that they've had. So I think that they go on a three-game winning streak starting this Sunday, and then Miami has a really good defense, and they're kind of cooking right now. So I think Miami gets them, and then they go into Denver, and they give them the business, and Derek Carr kind of erases the doubters that he can't get it done in the cold weather.
You guys are the best. How about we do this right now? How about we decide that when the playoffs start and the Raiders are in the playoffs, we do this again?
Done deal.
That sounds good. Absolutely.
Right.
And Hugh is much younger than me, so whenever he mentions Nelson Aguilar, which is great. See, because I forget so much. I'm getting up in years there, Chris.
Yeah, I see. Well, see, again, you know, and then my producer, Gonzo, he could be my son. So it's just the whole thing, is, you know. And then he makes little age jokes and throws things my way, and he'll walk in and say, oh, is this cane yours? It's like, did you buy a cane at CVS just to bring that in? So, yeah, it gets ugly. Folks, these guys are terrific. Scott Gilbranson, host of Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 in Las Vegas. Keon Myers, he is the co-host of Silver and Black Today. He is also the host of UNR, which stands for Unnecessary Roughness, on ESPN Central Texas. He's also the host of Locked On Raiders podcast, Black Hole Banter, food shows, gardening shows. These guys have got it covered. Scott, my man, be well, stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon. Keon, same thing for you, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother.
Right on.
Take care.
All right. These guys are just the best. I love having them on.
So there it is. There it was, Raider Nation. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I know I enjoyed being a part of that. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Raiders making the playoffs. And what I told Christopher Gabriel there, I said that the Raiders were going to go on a run. They were going to win three in a row, lose one, and then win that final game of the season against the Denver Broncos, kind of making up for what happened last year when they lost in Denver and really had an opportunity to win, but a batted ball knocked down. Should have been a Hunter Renfro touchdown to win the game. I think that they get right on that last game of the season. But look, you can't talk about that game until you worry about this game coming up on Sunday. And so we're going to preview this game on Sunday with the Jets because, well, it's crossover Thursday tomorrow. So I'll be talking to the host of Locked On Jets, and that'll be on Thursday's show. And it should be a lot of fun. And then Friday's show, we'll talk about keys to victory on Sunday as far as I'm concerned. And in my opinion, how the playoffs will start on Sunday for the Raiders. So we'll get into all that on Friday as well. So the next couple days, jam-packed here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Hopefully you guys are enjoying what you're hearing. I got some more goodness, I think this is the right word. I got some more stuff coming along the way as well that I'm looking forward to, another project that I'm looking forward to talking about pretty soon and telling you about and keeping you up on game about. So that'll come in due time. But until then, Raider Nation, appreciate you as always. Make sure you take care of your family. Make sure you wash your hands, wear your mask, do all what you got to do. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.